Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Photography is both an art and a science, and when it comes to taking a good photo, there are more than a few tricks. Charlie Samuels has mastered all of them. Charlie has taken almost a million photos, although I'm not sure how he counted those. His pictures have been on the front top of the New York Times and NewYorkTimes.com. He's on shoots for clothing lines and on Burton snowboards. He's photographed inside the White House, on aircraft carriers, and on the sidelines at major sporting events. He has taught at Skidmore College as well. Charlie Samuels started shooting skateboarders for the nation's most prestigious publications like Sports Illustrated, Time, and Newsweek, and has been a stringer for the New York Times for over 30 years. Nice to welcome back Charlie Samuels. You're here in Studio X.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, it's a little different than the last studio.
Yeah, it's not the same room. No.
Yeah, it's a temporary facility while they redo Studio A. By the way, number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. If you have a question for Charlie Samuels about photography, 1-800-348-2551. You can also send us an email, voxpop@wamc.org. In the opening script here, we mentioned that photography, both an art and a science. And I know you want to talk a little bit about the science, but I want to just for a moment talk about the art. So
I'd rather talk about the art.
A philosophical question. Mm-hmm. So we all take pictures. Most of us are bad at taking pictures. I am terrible at taking. I just got back from a 2-week vacation, took 80 pictures, about 4 good ones out of the whole bunch.
You didn't take enough.
Well, that's probably part of the problem. But when you go to take a shoot, I guess the question I'm driving at here is what in the mind, what in the mindset separates a great photographer from a pedestrian photographer? What goes into your mind when you have a job as you prep mentally?
The concept, what you really want to communicate, and then everything else is a tool under which you communicate what you're trying to communicate. I mean, it's the lighting, it's the camera, it's the people, it's the trust, it's the atmosphere, it's the weather. So you can't control everything. But if you have a concept and an idea or a mood you want to communicate, you need to use those tools really well in order to communicate it clearly.
So you had mentioned that you wanted to bring forth, before we take calls at 1-800-348-2551, a little technical tip.
Yeah, well, a lot of people, I mean, photography is very enjoyable. It's a great thing to do, and it's really fun to get into. But a lot of people, they buy a camera, they shoot pictures, they enjoy it, and then they can't understand when something goes wrong. And it's sort of like if you don't know the three variables of exposure, which are all interlocking mathematics, which is shutter speed, f-stop, and the sensitivity of your sensor or your film.
And then nowadays, that's a CCD?
Right, CCD. Okay. Right. Or your chip, some people call it. You are sort of like taking a cab. You are taking a cab somewhere instead of driving the car. If you don't understand how shutter speed relates to f-stop, how that relates to the sensitivity of your camera, you really should be driving the car. You need to understand how those three variables work interchangeably.
I mean, one of the things I think for most of us who just take shots, and nowadays, most of the time, it's one of these. It's a mobile phone, right. and the cameras get better and better on these to some extent. But most of them have automatic settings.
Right.
And I got to tell you, that's a problem.
It is.
It's a huge problem. By the way, I got a lot of lousy shots.
Yes. There are ways, there are apps to be able to control the iPhones and everything else, manually. And I strongly suggest people use those in order to learn photography. And that, a manual camera, there's nothing that's going to force you to learn those three variables of exposure better than a manual camera. And then you're going to have more fun and better pictures, and you're going to enjoy photography way more.
Isn't it more stress? Oh, God, the f-stop's wrong. Oh, the shutter speed's wrong. Oh, I can't.
No. After a while, you'd be surprised if it becomes automatic to you and you get a feeling for it instead of thinking about the actual f-stops and the shutter speeds that you're at.
And you, as I recall, don't use film or at least barely use film
anymore.
Haven't
used film since 2002.
See, that shocks me, because you think about photography and the pros, and you are a pro, and you think, okay, well, they're still using film. So nobody uses film anymore.
That's not true. I mean, a lot of people do use it. You know, there's a real romance about the cameras, especially if you're shooting a portrait. People are really, really melt and get more comfortable sometimes if you have a Hasselblad in your hands. Because, oh, you're doing old school. Also, film, you know, definitely has a different look. It's harder to get the film look with digital than it is to just shoot film, right? You can do it, but you're working in Photoshop for maybe an hour or 3 hours and for one frame, or, you know, I'm sure people can do it quicker and they have plugins, but you know, there is a difference. But film is kind of a nostalgic thing right now, and I'm getting more attracted to it now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, since the last time you were on, you've changed your tune, eh? All right, this one came in via email at voxpop@wamc.org. This is from Rachel. Hello, I'm an amateur photographer. I use a Canon EOS 70D, and I'm wondering what lens you would recommend for taking pictures of the sky. Okay, this gets back to sort of my problem with my vacation shots.
Okay. Well, my first suggestion on lenses is to get prime lenses, not zoom lenses. They're cheaper, they're sharper, they allow you to learn better, you know, if you're a beginner. You know, if you know, you can shoot virtually anything with a 50 millimeter or a wide angle.
Yeah.
And you can really shoot anything with a telephoto, a normal lens, which is a 50 millimeter and a wide angle. So I would recommend, you know, even old lenses. Old lenses are the big investment. You can, I use Nikon lenses from 25 years ago, and they're on my, you know, top of the line Nikon, you know. So I would just recommend what they call prime lenses.
Yeah. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We have an email, kind of an attitude about it. This is from Jim. Dear Mr. Samuels, please talk about your work as a photographer and how your clients hire you and not people that use phone cameras, etc. Well, before you start, I would say, Jim, most people use phone cameras. Most people like to take pictures. So if you're listening at home and you have a phone camera and you have a question, don't let Jim dissuade you. Now, go ahead and answer Jim's cogent question.
All right. Well, I'll answer his main question is, how do you get jobs? And
yeah.
I can't speak for everybody else, but the way I've mostly gotten jobs is suggesting stories. I read the paper. I understand what's going on. I talk to all my friends all over the country and over the world, I guess, and I find out what is going on and what would make a good story. And then when I go to the magazine or the client, I not only show them my photos or tell them, please hire me. I say, please hire me because I've got three story ideas up my sleeve.
Yeah.
And almost nobody takes the stories and then hires another photographer. It just doesn't happen. I mean, part of why you have the story, one of the reasons you have the story is you're passionate about it, and photo editors are looking for passionate photographers.
And presumably, technically, good ones.
Sure. Well, they look at your work and they can pretty much tell that.
Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. So what was it like to photograph inside the White House? And what did you do?
Well, I was with the FIFA president, Sepp Blatter. I was his personal photographer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, you must have some stories to tell. We'll get into that after the break.
Actually, I don't.
Really?
Yeah.
The money was pretty good, eh?
Yeah, it was.
Interesting.
But they went to the White House, and I photographed them on tour at the White House, and I photographed all the paintings and things like that.
Really?
It was a while. It was a nice scene. You know, it was nice to be in the White House.
What's the best thing you took in that setting?
A portrait of all the FIFA guys on the steps of the White House and in many of the rooms. I did not get to photograph the president, but
no.
They went into the president.
So they did go to see the president?
Yep.
Any money changing hands that you know of?
I don't know.
All right, fair enough. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Tell you what, Zach, the engineer, we got some callers on hold. Our guest is Charlie Samuels. We talk photography today. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Noble Home, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts. Custom-designed panelized house kits featuring eco-friendly passive and solar design elements, noble-home.net. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair services and 24-hour towing and recovery service for over 30 years, collegestreetmotors.com. The Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to preserve freshwater resources that flow from the Adirondacks to New York's urban centers, nature.org/Adirondacks. Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete, available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores, mannysoliveoil.com. George Propane, Goshen, Massachusetts, family-owned and operated for over 75 years, serving Western Massachusetts with propane and full-service heating and plumbing installation, services, and deliveries, georgepropane.com. And Pave Tile, Wood, and Stone, using French artisan techniques to manufacture pre-finished oak floors, decorative and terracotta tile, and importing aged French limestone. Showroom by appointment and online, pavetile.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Photography today with Charlie Samuels. Ray Graff here. Number to call is 1-800-348-2551. And let's go to the phone. Sorry, I banged into the microphone. It's a new studio. I can't get used to it. Let's go over to line two and John in South Hadley. John, you're first.
Hi. I'm wondering, I have several old-style film-based cameras. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering why somebody hasn't come up with a backing which you could have, go to a service center, and they would take off your old backing and put a computer-age backing on this camera, mm-hmm. so we could do digital film with the old camera.
That's a great question, John. I've heard rumors about people manufacturing a chip that goes on the back of old cameras, and I just have never seen them. I don't know why they're not produced, maybe because there's so many cameras and so many formats that it might not be, you know, business-wise to do it. I mean, that would be nice. I don't know what to tell you.
I've just wondered if it come up and I hadn't seen it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, John.
Bye.
We appreciate the call. It's Vox Pop, 1-800-348-2551. So as we discussed at the beginning of the program, you're mainly a digital photographer these days, and you mentioned, you know, time spent in Photoshop. So for an average shoot where you are on a paid gig, how long do you spend at the computer afterwards?
About twice the shoot time.
Really?
Yeah.
And what's the average shoot time?
Shoot time, well, a shoot day is usually 8 to 10 or 12 or 16 hours, right? So depending on how many shots you take, it usually takes me 2 to 3 days to process.
Isn't that cheating?
All that. No, that's not at all.
And really?
We're not talking about, this is processing, meaning taking it from the raw form, bringing it into a TIFF file, then taking it and making it look as real as you saw it look. It's not about
airbrushing and changing.
Occasionally, you know, you know, it depends on the client. If it's journalistic, you can't do that, or else you just will never get hired again. You can, journalistically, you can enhance the color slightly. You can enhance the contrast. You know, make up for the deficiencies of the actual camera.
Yeah.
You know, and usually the more dead your settings are on the camera, the more you can do with, you know, more variables you have with the actual file.
So what do you mean by dead? Like flat? Like a studio monitor would have a flat frequency
flat
response?
Flat contrast, flat colors, and then you can, you know, work a little bit more and make it look the way you saw it when it was there.
Okay. And so, but for when a commercial shoot, all trickery is up for grabs, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah. You can eliminate telephone poles. You can shoot a group shot with several people and pick out the best head and then easily just mesh it together. So you have, you know, 10 people. You only have time for 5 frames or something. Say it's a famous rock band or something. And in every frame, somebody's eyes are closed. Now, that is a savior. Digital is a savior for that. And invariably, you can just, you know, get rid of those eyes closed and replace them with the other heads.
Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Charlie Samuels is our guest. Every now and then he stops in and we talk photography. And in the break, you had made a quip about ghost photography. Have you done any of that?
No, but no? The last time I was here, I got thrown for a loop when somebody said, had I ever photographed ghosts?
Yeah, they must be a tough subject.
Yeah. Well, there's so many aberrations and flares and crazy things that go on in your camera. And the just the optics itself can make it seem like there's a ghost there. Mm. And it's the processing,
And UFO photography, too. A lot of lens flares were passed off in the 50s and 60s and even 70s.
You're darn tootin'.
As UFOs. All right, let's go back to the phones. And again, I bang into the microphone cord. It's the ergonomics of Studio X. No, John in Beckett, you're on. John.
Hi, yeah. So my daughter tells me she wants to get into photography. She was thinking of going to that Hallmark School of Photography up in, somewhere up there, where it is, north of Northampton.
Okay.
And so she wants a camera for Christmas. So I gave her my entire black and white, or my entire collection of lenses and everything for my my regular film camera.
Right.
And she cries because she wanted me to buy her the $1,000 interchangeable lens fancy camera with all digital, where she could just take pictures without having to adjust anything. As much as I try to explain to her, if you learn how to do this other stuff, taking those pictures will be a snap. And I got her a digital camera. She's, well, it won't zoom. I can't focus in on a bird, 3,000 feet away. Well, you're not going to want to. And it's like, how do you get them interested? I have old Kodak cameras that use 620 film. I can't get it anymore, but I have them.
Right.
Actually, I gave them those too, but she wasn't happy about that.
Well, because, I understand what you were trying to teach her, and she just wanted to take shot beautiful pictures, and it goes back to what I was saying before about the, the three variables of exposure. If you're shooting with an automatic camera, it's almost like looking through binoculars, and when you understand the three variables of exposure, it looks like you don't have anything in front of your eyes. So, I would recommend that, you enhance her fun by making sure she takes pictures, and then teach her and give her those old ones. She'll eventually cry out of happiness having those old cameras.
Because I was actually on a side road in Orkney, Scotland, with a group of people, and they were like trying to figure out why they couldn't take certain pictures, and I was going through this explanation with them about f-stops and film speed. Even though they had digital cameras, most of them you can switch them to manual.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of them they used to anyway.
Yep.
So it was like, it's not like it doesn't exist anymore.
Right. No, that you definitely can get a manual digital camera, and you can do it on your iPhone as well.
Thanks, John. We appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Bye now. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go over to Ellenville, and it's Anita or Anitra? I'm sorry.
It's Anitra.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, Anitra.
Thank you. Hi. I did a lot of photography in my youth, but haven't for a long time. So I do understand all the things about shutter speed and f-stops and exposures and filters and lenses. But one thing that I find very confusing looking at cameras that are available now is, they're always changing so quickly. And I wondered what you recommend for someone who doesn't want to buy a top-of-the-line Nikon, sort of a more reasonable budget, but quality. And also, I think my dad was a real shutterbug, and he might have some Nikon lenses on SLR cameras.
Sure.
Can you use those on? Do Nikon lenses only fit Nikons, or?
Yes, they do. But one of the advantages of Nikon, which is the brand I shoot, is that you can use virtually any Nikon lens that Nikon has produced forever.
Mm.
So, but what I would ask you. Whereas Canon kind of changed their whole schematic on the on their lens. But they're both great cameras. They both are as good as it gets. But I would recommend also looking at Panasonic and Sony. And what is your budget?
Oh, say like $2,000 to $2,500.
Okay, well then you're in the range of getting a great digital SLR. And I wouldn't necessarily recommend getting the top of the line newest, because sometimes the software isn't even ready yet. So I would recommend something a year or two old.
Really?
Read the reviews online. You know, it's really a matter of personal taste about what you want.
I'm confused about the software comment. Isn't software software? I mean, why does a camera have individual software?
Well, if you want to do everything on digital cameras and you buy the top of the line Nikon or Canon or Panasonic right away, Adobe needs time to catch up. And Adobe is the, you know, maker of Photoshop, which is the standard in manipulating photos and processing photos.
Okay, and I hit the mic again. I'm sorry, Anitra, and everyone at home listening on your speakers as the woofers just bounced. Okay, so when you hook your camera up to a computer, FireWire, USB, what are you using to get the image off the camera into the computer?
Oh, I take the card out of the camera
I
stick
it in. So it's an SD card?
Yep. Or a CF card, compact flash.
Yeah.
That's really the professional standard right now.
All right, back to the line we go, and trying not to hit the microphone, let's go to Charles in Woodstock. Charles, you're on.
Hi. I'm, I guess, what you might call an advanced beginner with digital photography. And my question has to do with what kind of settings you would recommend with a good? I've got two cameras. I got a Nikon D300 and a D5200, and a pretty wide variety of both zoom and prime lenses. And I'm kind of wondering what you would recommend in terms of camera settings for shooting bird in flight.
Well,
you know,
I'm not
like shutter speed, ISO, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, if I go to automatic, what I normally go to is aperture priority. So
right.
I usually shoot as wide open as I can, unless I need depth of field or slow shutter speed. So, I would definitely go wide open, especially with a bird in flight, because they're, you want to catch them at a, say, 4/1000th of a second, for example. So if you want to freeze their wings in flight, that would be a good start. So f/2.8 at 4/1000th of a second. But I, you know, aperture priority means that you set the aperture and the camera automatically sets the shutter speed. And,
yeah, I understand that. I understand right. that part.
Yeah.
What I'm curious about then, what would you use for an ISO?
The slowest you can use.
What's an ISO?
That's one of the simplest things about that variable of exposure. An ISO is used to be called ASA, is the sensitivity of your chip that receives the image and is a light sensor. It's just like film. Generally what you want to do, the simplest way, that's the simplest of all the three variable exposures, you want to use the lowest ISO or ASA setting you can, because that'll give you more color, more latitude in your exposure.
Right, and would you use autofocus for this as well?
Oh, definitely. You're shooting a bird? Darn, it's like the perfect example for autofocus.
Because I've seen the articles where they mention the ability to track a moving object if that distance from you changes.
Right, well, a bird, I mean, the autofocus you have on those cameras that you mentioned should be able to catch up, no problem. And the chance of, if you really want to do it manually, focus-wise, you need to practice. That's like having a bionic eye.
I've been doing that. I got one of those Tamron 150 to 600 telephotos.
Well, let me put it this way.
I've been practicing manual with that, and it's working pretty well.
Let me close it out with this. I would use manual or whatever you prefer, manual or autofocus, until you feel you're not getting the shot, then switch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, must have been a lot more. Thank you very much, Charles. Must have been a lot more work doing sporting events in the old days before autofocus.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Are you out of practice now?
Definitely.
Really?
Oh yeah.
So that skill is atrophying. See, that's technology.
Oh yeah.
Ruining the artist. You see?
Yeah, but you know, you practice. If you have a shoot like that, you need to use manual focus. You practice for a couple of days beforehand. You get to know the mechanics and the physics of the lens you're most likely going to use.
Well, I see Charles's point, though. If the bird is going across your field, then I would assume autofocus or manual focus would be easy. But if the bird is coming over your shoulder and going further away with every shot, must be much more difficult.
Well, this.
How about the depth of field for some of these?
You mean with autofocus or?
Well, both.
Well, with autofocus, the programs in the autofocus cameras are they actually determine the speed of the object going away or coming towards you.
What if there are more than one object?
Oh, well, you can adjust the focus right in the lens and keep that focus bracket right on the subject that you want to shoot.
A number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Charlie Samuels. We talk photography. What sporting events have you done?
The Jets, the Giants, the Knicks, the you name it.
Done baseball?
Actually, I haven't done baseball, and I'm not sure why. I liked baseball.
I mean, it must be difficult in all of the sports. First of all, what's the most difficult sport that you have done?
Skateboarding.
To photograph?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
I would think that one that had a small ball moving at high speed would be more difficult than that.
Unless you want to shoot the ball itself. I mean, you know, if you want to get that ball in focus and you're standing behind the catcher, that's really difficult.
Like getting
that's
a baseball pitcher.
Almost 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, right. And so I would love to see an autofocus pull that one off.
Yeah, I'm not sure it can. Mm. I think that's too fast.
All right, 1-800. See, we've stumped the panel. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to, we're violating a principle here.
I thought you cut me off accidentally.
It's Anitra again, and I don't think I cut you off, but you're on again, and it's violating rule number one. So keep it quick.
Well, I thought you cut me off. Okay, so all I wanted to know is the difference between what you get for like a $2,500 camera and like a top of the line camera. What are the differences between the what are the features? What are you losing by going down?
Oh, well, that's a very good question. For example, the top of the line Nikon is about $6,500, and the one that I'm about to buy is about $3,000.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so there's such minor differences. It's incredible. Like even to a pro like me, it's there's very minor differences. So if you're not a pro, don't waste the money on that. It's just $3,000 is a really hefty budget.
Yeah, you could buy a used boat for that.
and even $2,000 is great. You're fine with that.
All right. Are you well satisfied, Anitra, or do you want to follow up?
What is he about to buy? What's the $3,000 camera he's about to buy?
It's the Nikon. I actually forgot the name of it. I don't pay attention to the name of it. I just want the camera.
Right. He's an artist, Anitra.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. We look forward to your next call in a few moments. Let's go to Belco in Woodstock. You're on.
Yes.
Hello, you're on.
Hello.
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 Am I on the radio?
You're on the radio.
Oh, great. Okay, so I'm calling a question. I do fashion photography on the iPhone, and I say to the girls, you're going to be very famous. I turn exposure all the way up on the photo, so that more people can see them. And then the camera edits picture, so I see nothing.
If you're going to turn up the exposure on the camera, it's going to overexpose everything, and then you will see nothing. It'll just be a white photo. So
we got a real bad connection.
Does it have anything to do with how people get to see?
I'm not sure what you said.
Let's try it again. We had a bad connection here, Belco. Try it one more time.
I'm sorry. We are in the car. So I make the picture. I turn exposure all the way up, so girls become famous, lots of people get to see.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't, then the photo all white.
Yeah, you're talking about exposure that's not about photography.
Oh, boy. Okay. Hey, Belco, thanks a lot for the call. We're going to go over to James and Hudson. James, you're on.
Hi, James.
Hold on. I'm just turning up the phone. Hold on. I know the radio is down. Hold on.
Fine. OK. Okay.
Thank you for being patient.
Okay, you're on.
I just wanted to say I can't take a picture to save my life. I think a few SX70s that have come out. But it's just the difference. I've worked around photography and photographers like for most of my adult life, and just there's just a huge difference when I look at like a silver nitrate photograph and I look at something that's digital. Even though I know people that work in digital photography that I really respect their work, and I just feel like there's a big difference.
All right, and we're going to go to a break in about 45 seconds, but address that, Charles.
Well, you're talking about print difference, right?
Yes.
That's it. Well, I agree. They're beautiful. A silver print is amazing compared to a digital print, but it's just a different process, and you can print with either a film original or with a digital original. So it's just a matter of what you're what you like.
James, thanks a lot for the call. Another purist heard from. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. Let's take a break. Charlie Samuels, our guest. We talk photography and the home stretch on the way.
Support for WAMC comes from Real Seafood Company, Wolf Road, Colony. Locally owned seafood restaurant and raw bar, realseafoodco.com. Saratoga Saddlery, Saratoga Springs, New York. An equestrian lifestyle boutique featuring cowboy boots by Lucchese and Ariat for women, men, and kids on Facebook and saratogasaddlery.com. Lori Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and Castle Theater Group, downtown Bennington, Vermont. Presenting Black Comet, oldcastletheater.org for tickets. Windy Hollow Veterinary Clinic, Montague, Massachusetts. Conventional and integrated veterinary medicine, including acupuncture and chiropractic therapy, comprehensive pet care and health services since 1998. WindyHollowVet.com. And the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Surrounded, sampling Birchfield's wallpaper with original designs and watercolors by Charles Birchfield through September 20th, ArkellMuseum.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Charlie Samuels is here having a good time talking about photography, and the lines are loaded. Let's go to John in Albany. John.
I wanted to know, what resolution, megapixels equal 100 or 200 film?
They're not related. I thought you were going to say what resolution.
Yeah.
Can you turn the radio down, John? We're getting a little feedback, a little backsplash.
Oh, I don't have a radio on.
Well, that's even spookier. All right, go ahead.
Okay. So let me just treat that as two questions. If you have 10 megapixels or more, you're in great territory. That's basically, you can't get much sharper than that. Okay. Then with what resolution equals 200 film, you said?
Yeah, what, something 200 around there.
Okay. In digital, I'd say, wow, it's really high. I mean, I used to shoot Kodachrome 200, which was the sharpest film there was, and in that range. And I'd say that digital is the digital equivalent of that as far as grain and stuff like that. Probably be about, in the new cameras, like 32,000, maybe 16,000. I mean, it's incredible how that's one of the biggest changes in photography, how incredibly sensitive the light is. I wanted to say this on the show. I had a friend in the FBI, still have him, or CIA, and 20 years ago, he told me that satellite cameras could see the brand of the cigarette on a table.
Really?
And that was 20 years ago. So that technology is filtering down to the consumer right now.
But that was film, right?
No.
digital technology 20 years ago? Because in the old days of the keyhole satellites, they had film cameras and they would drop the film on parachutes and planes would come and pick them up because because the CCD wasn't advanced enough.
Wow.
See, the things you learn.
Well, the military gets this technology first.
John, thanks a lot. This one came in on our website. This is from Jay. My grandfather gave me his Canon AE-1 circa 1970. I know nothing about photography. What can I learn about this camera and how to use it? Great program, learning a lot. Thank you in advance. That's from Jay.
What can you learn? Well, you need some lenses, first of all.
Okay.
And second of all, you need some film.
But how can you find out about that particular camera?
Go online. Look, I'm sure there's forums that talk all about that camera. That was a classic, classic camera.
Right.
And I'm sure people still use them, you know, all the time. AE-1, it's famous.
Let's go to Van in South Egremont. Van, you're up.
Oh, hello. My question for you, Charlie, is about how you manage your workflow. Not so much in terms of, you know, each assignment you're given, but I'm curious. You know, I'm probably my second year right now getting into photography, and for me, the challenge is often about taking artistic ideas I have, and you know, having the patience to really finish it, and you know, do all the work to get a range of photographs. Or process a photograph, and the rest of the collection to completion. And I wonder, as someone of your prestige and access to all the tools you need, do you have projects down the line for later in your life, or do you kind of just do whatever you want as it comes up?
No, absolutely. I have projects down the line. I'm always looking for work. You know, it's 90% business and marketing and 10% photography. So,
that stinks.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're talking about is shooting on spec, and I generally don't do that. It's harder to make money that way. Shoot it and then try to sell it. Because assignment work is much more where it's at, and I enjoy the challenge of an assignment.
Thanks a lot, Van. We appreciate the call. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Now, you have a website, right?
Yeah, charliesamuels.com.
Charliesamuels.com. Let's go to Bob in Glenville. Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hey. You're on.
I have a question. I'm basically trying to get back into photography. I had use if you have single lens reflex. And just seeing what you would suggest.
What's the question?
Well, what would you suggest as far as starting out again?
I'd suggest the camera that I meant to bring up before, the Nikon D810.
That's $3,000.
Yeah,
mid-level. The guy's just starting out. I would say start with getting a camera. That's a good start,
all
right?
Well, that's not. I would highly recommend a DSLR. With the kit lens for about $1,000 that also has manual capabilities. And that's what I always recommend to people. Mm. And you can get them incredibly cheap on eBay, like a four-year-old DSLR for about $110.
Interesting. But now, if you were to buy a used lens on eBay, isn't that fraught with danger? In other words, there's so many things that could go wrong with a lens.
That's true. It's fraught with danger. If somebody leaves a lens on a heater, it's just going to melt the glue inside the lens that holds the glass.
Yeah.
So, when I do sell lenses on eBay or whatever, which is a seller's market, it's the greatest place to sell. I tell them I have never left them on a heater. You know, I've never left them in the sun. If I'm out in the sun shooting football, I try to have some kind of cover over the lenses, which are black and just suck the heat up. So that's, or if it's dropped.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Bob, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go over to Larry in Hancock. Larry.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah. I do a lot of motorsports photography, and I'm really trying to get my panning down where I can get the shutter speed down enough to get more motion blur in the wheels. And the background, and wanted to know if you had any tips on improving panning, considering, we normally don't have situations where we got things going by at around 150 or so miles an hour.
Right.
Can't you just increase the shutter speed?
No. You asked the right person, because I love that challenge of shooting things that move. And what the most important thing is your body mechanics. And you're going to you want to train yourself and your arms and your eyes to just follow that car as closely as you can. Pretend that you're shooting a photograph at a quarter second. As a matter of fact, that would be good practice. Shoot at a quarter second, put a neutral density in front of your lens, and shoot at a quarter second and see how still you can get that car. Everything else is going to be moving like crazy. And then you work down from there. Quarter second, eighth second, what's the next one? 30th. So you just keep going to, and then you'll find the sweet spot where you imagine the photo to be.
But wait, he wants blur?
Yeah, he definitely wants blur.
So,
right?
Can't you
do
just,
you want blur?
Yeah,
oh,
I want, definitely. Like, blur the wheels, blur the background.
Of course, you want, you know, if everything's blurred, then it just doesn't work, even if you can tell it's a car, right? So you want the car as sharp as you can get it while the wheels and the background is just totally blurred.
So that's why opening expanding the shutter speed, like making it longer, wouldn't work, because then everything would blur.
Right. So a quarter second would be difficult for any photographer on earth to freeze that car. So you try it at a quarter, and then you keep going faster and faster at that shutter speed until you get that sweet spot that you imagine.
Hmm. Great question.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Larry, thanks a lot. So have you photographed, Charlie, a lot of those motorsports?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Indy race cars and airplanes and... Yep.
Do you have to lead the vehicle that you're trying to photograph? In other words, video photographers, in other words, cameramen on sporting events or anything, really. You have to lead. You have to leave some room in front of the motion.
Sure. Well, you know, it depends on what composition you want. But if you want to follow that car and keep that entire car within the frame, then you do just that. You just try to stay really close on that car.
How long did it take you to get it right?
Oh, well, nothing. There's no such thing as right. It's just better and better.
Okay.
You know?
Well, that's a cop out. I'm sure there's some very lousy ones out there. Let's go to Sue in Ballston Spa. Sue.
I'm just wondering, I have a very old camera, and it was my mother's, who was recreational director, that was singing around the campfire, actually, but in Yellowstone National Park.
Okay.
Back in the early 1900s, is there any need for anyone to get these old cameras?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially, so many people would love to try out those new cameras. You know, old cameras. One of the great things about old cameras and the scarcity of them is that you get a new look, because what was old is new again. So if you're able to shoot with a Graflex, you know, 4x5 camera, or an old camera that was shot in Yellowstone Park, you're going to have a look that not many people can get.
But you can simulate it with software, right?
You can. It just takes a lot of trouble. It might be, it just depends on which, you know, how much, what energy, where you want to spend your energy, finding one of those amazing cameras and shooting it with it, or shooting it digitally and then mucking with it in Photoshop.
All right, good question.
I just wanted to know if someone would have a need for this.
Oh.
Or a want.
I'm sure that there's somebody out there
with
a want. Yeah,
definitely. I would, especially if it works, photograph it, put on eBay, and see what happens. And you may be pleasantly surprised.
But do your research first, though, Sue, so you don't undervalue it.
Yeah, because it says use autographic film.
Wow.
Number A116.
Well, that's the biggest problem with old cameras. I'm sorry. I kind of jumped the gun there.
Oh,
If there's no film made for it, or if you can't make film for it, if it's just some, you know, then it loses its value.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I was just thought maybe somebody might like it, because I don't. I have a lot of souvenirs from Yellowstone, but I...
Wow. Well, it could be, you know, who knows?
Hey, Sue, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay.
Bye now. And let's go to Jenna in Goshen. You're on.
Yeah, hi. I'm wondering what you would recommend for the best way to download my pictures off my digital camera onto my the program onto my computer, because I have an iMac and it's just I'm struggling with the best way to get my images off the camera card and then to save them.
Okay. All right. Well, it's really tough for me to know without knowing exactly what you have, but what works best for me is taking the card out of the camera and mm-hmm. sticking it in the computer, and mm-hmm. That acts like its own, you know, external hard drive, and then mm-hmm. you fish them out of that card and put them on your desktop.
Yeah, but what program do you use once you're on the deck? Like, I have iPhoto, which I really don't like.
Yeah, well, I use a program called Photo Mechanic for that uh-huh. Process, but you can use Preview and Mac. There's plenty of programs to download those photos, and then once you download them, you can put them in Photoshop or Lightroom or something like that.
Okay.
Great, and then I have an external hard drive where I've dragged everything over to one day go back and, you know, edit. Because I've been documenting my children for 11 years.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. It's incredible. But there's thousands and thousands of images. And so one day when they go off to college, I'll get to
them. That's great.
What I would now, just to warn you, if they're all JPEGs, I would switch them to TIFFs so they're archivally safe.
And back them up, Jenna. Back them up. If you lose the digital, if something crashes, you'll be in trouble.
So back it up more than the external hard drive?
Well, you should definitely have two backups.
At least.
Thanks for the call. Yep. Let's go to, it's either Duncan or Pumpkin. I can't quite read it. In Cavendish, you're on.
Hi, Duncan.
Not Pumpkin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
I have an old 35mm camera, XL1, circa 1980, along with some nice lenses, and also a Yashica D camera. I took it to appraise the guy, and he said that they were worthless, the 35mm. Mm-hmm. What should I do with this stuff? I don't know.
Did he offer to buy it after he said it was worthless?
If they're not worthless to you, if you can shoot it, if you can use them as cameras, just go for it.
Well, I got one that's new. I finally got one of those little digital cameras, and they're fabulous. No, I'm done with the 35 film thing. You know what I mean? It's old news, but it was a great camera in its day, and I just don't know what to do with it. If anybody would want to donate it, or no, the guy didn't want to buy it back from me.
Well, here's another idea. You can give it to schools.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, do they still use film, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
All right,
okay.
Hey, thank you very much. We're just about out of time here. I want to get to Rich in Half Moon. Rich, you have about 30 seconds.
Hi, Rich.
Hi, I'll make it quick.
Okay.
I have four fair-skinned and blue-eyed children who can't stand to be in the sun when we're taking photos. And so I wanted to know, you know, for beginning of the school year and outside shots, if there's any tips you would have to shooting people who are light sensitive outside.
Turn them around 180 degrees and have the sun backlight them.
That should be the way anyway, right?
Well, not necessarily, but yeah, most of the time it's a much more flattering light to have faces in the shadow.
Hmm.
Oh, so backlit is okay, because I was always told never to backlight subjects because they end up with faces in shadow.
Not if you expose for the shadow properly. Then you're in fine shape. Plus, one other tip is to put your hand in between your camera and the sun so the flare does not get in the lens.
Yeah, makes
sense.
And
that really does a lot.
All right, we're about out of time, Rich, but thank you very much. Quickly, a tweet here from a crouching camera. This is from Nick. I often advise to simply buy a camera you like, one that feels good in your hand. The more you like it, the more you'll use it. Agree or disagree?
Agree. I mean, the best camera you have is the one with you. So if you've got a camera in your hand or your pocket, use it.
Yeah. Well, Charlie Samuels, once again, the website?
CharlieSamuels.com.
All right. We're just about out of time. Nice show. Well done. Always fun to have you here.
Thank you for having me, Ray.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody who called in. Support comes from Destination Williamstown, a calendar of curated events of the Northern Berkshires Culture College Cows, DestinationWilliamstown.org. Quality Foreign Car Care, Ballston Spa, New York. Sales and service of Audi, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Saab, Volkswagen, and Porsche, QFCC.com. SPAC, presenting the Philadelphia Orchestra August 14th. Winter Tales, featuring members of the New York City Ballet. And for the kids, an instrumental petting zoo and CDPHP Family Night, SPAC.org. for tickets. And LARAC, serving the arts community year-round in downtown Glens Falls since 1972, with gallery, exhibits, and gift shop featuring handmade items by regional artists, LARAC voxpop.org. Thanks again for being here on Vox Pop. We really appreciate your calls. Thanks to Bruce Herbach, who answered your calls, our engineer, the inimitable Zach, not too photogenic Malloy. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow on the program, oh boy, we're going to talk all about the problems with the Jets and all the sports issues with Mark McGuire of the Daily Gazette and our own Keith Strudler of Marist College and a sports commentator here. So get ready for that. Or, you know, avoid it like the plague. That's the other option. Stay tuned now for a news update.